to the book of Acts. We continue a series through that book, Acts chapter 9. Coming to the last section of that particular chapter tonight, Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 36. Give your attention now as this is a reading of the Holy Word of the Living God. Acts 9:36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. So far in the reading of the Word, that Word is the very living water, the bread of heaven comes to us by the Holy Spirit. Let's go before the throne of grace once again. Father, we thank you for the various ways that we have worshipped here tonight, and we would now come in worship by hearing the word preached. This has been the principal means that you have ordained for the building up of your church, the spreading of your gospel, adding to the kingdom of God. So we do not take these moments lightly. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit will work in the one who speaks, and those who hear, that together we might worship in spirit and in truth. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, our text is 8 verses. The Bible has 31,103 verses. The book of Acts has 1,007 verses. There are 807,361 words in the Bible. Our text is 221 words. That is 0.027% of the Bible. These 8 verses take about a minute and 25 seconds to read. Why all the numbers? Because I think that we often read a text, it's a few verses from the Bible, and there's almost a sense in which we say, okay, what's next? We get on with our life. We have chores to do, things planned for tomorrow. And we might miss the power that's in just this little sliver, if you will, a few words. There are other examples of very few words with incredible power in them in the Bible. Let there be light. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But now Christ is risen from the dead. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Those are important words. They come in context, they come in various aspects of the Bible, but they're important. These 8 verses have very important things in them. Now, what is the main event? The main event is the news that spread all over Joppa, and many believed that Tabitha came back to life. So there we are. We read this short passage. What strikes me is that we don't say, "Wait a minute! What? She was dead. Her body was prepared for burial. But she is alive." I would say, if this happened to someone close to you, that's all you'd be talking about. You'd be telling everyone you know. Did you hear? Tabitha is alive. There's power in these few verses. Power to spread. Power to include. Power to raise. And power to believe. Power to spread, verse 36, at Joppa. What is significant about this place? Well, one of the first things that's significant about it is the port where all of the logs from Lebanon for Solomon's temple came to Jerusalem. This is where they landed. And then they were hauled across Israel to Jerusalem. Joppa is the place where a guy named Jonah got on a ship to run away from God. The town of Joppa was sacked by the Arabs in 1772 by Islamic slave soldiers in 1775. That's 3 years after 1772. Sacked again by Napoleon in 1779. That's 4 years after the second sacking. And you might wonder, well, what's Joppa look like today? Well, it's the town of Jaffa, J-A-F-F-A. It has a population of about 60,000 people. And the pictures that I saw, when you Google it and look at the shots they have, it's a beautiful little city on the port. Beaches, commerce, high-rise buildings. Why is Peter in Joppa? Wasn't he in Jerusalem? Well, he's in Joppa because of Acts 1, verse 8. You remember way back then, Jesus told his disciples, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The gospel is not for Jews only. It's going to spread. And after the resurrection, Jesus told his apostles, "You're going to be the ones to start spreading the news." The apostles are doing what the Lord told them. Remember in Mark 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The gospel is not for religious thinkers to talk about, discuss, and debate religious stuff with religious language. But rather, the gospel is the work of God. What is the work of God? John 6, 28-29. "What shall we do," they said to the Lord, "that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." The disciples of Christ are to be about this work, pointing people to the Savior that God has sent. Christians should, at the very least, be praying for this spread, giving for this spread, supporting, as we have prayed just a few minutes ago, for the spread of the gospel in foreign countries, through seminaries, through works of mercy. We should be living for this spread. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking for an opportunity to tell people about Christ? I'm not asking you to become a traveling preacher. Not asking you, I don't think the Bible's even asking every one of you. Number one, at least half of you are the wrong gender. Can you say that today? It's true. But if you have been delivered from death, if you have been made a new creature in Christ, what is the least that you can do? I'm often struck by that demoniac. The Lord casts out a legion of demons from him. And when he leaves, the guy tries to get in the boat. He wants to go with Jesus. You remember what Jesus said to him? "Go to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." That's the way he was going to spread the gospel. He wasn't going to go with Jesus all over Judea. But the gospel was going to spread. And here we come to our text, and there is great power to include. Verse 36. "There was a certain disciple named Tabitha," which is translated Dorcas. There's some very interesting things in these eight verses. Joppa being one of them. Joppa means lovely or beautiful. And as I said, the pictures that I saw, yes, I like the vacation there. It looks like, by the way, it's near Gaza, though. You probably don't want to go right now, but it's a beautiful place. Tabitha, Dorcas, both of those names, different variations, not Jewish names, by the way. But they mean gazelle. Something about her name is describing the loveliness of this woman, the way she lived. A certain disciple. The first thing you need to know about Tabitha is that she was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way she's introduced. A certain, specifically, disciple. A woman. Can we say that today? She was a female believer in a male-dominated culture. By the way, there are little hints about the points that's trying to be made here. The Greek word for disciple is the same word from which we get mathetes. This is the only place in the New Testament where mathetes is in the feminine. Mathetria. Pointing out that this disciple is a woman. This ancient Greek word does not appear anywhere else because it was not known. That is, think about the Greek philosophers of the day. Plato, Aristotle. Guess what you had to be in order to go to one of their schools. A man. It was for men only. Christianity gives women, can you say that word today? It gives women what cultural norms refused to give them. There was separation, even in the Jewish community. Men sat over here, the women sat over there. They didn't sit with the women. The Arabs of the world do not talk to women, except for their wife, primarily. I don't know how they run business that way, but they do. And yet, when we come to Jesus, what do we find? Well, we find many women. Can you use that word today? I'm going to do that about 3 more times, so just get used to it. These women sat at Jesus' feet. They want to learn from Him. The Jews separated women and men, but in Christ there is what? There is neither male nor female, slave or free, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Tabitha is not a preacher. She's not the theological point person in Joppa. She's not an apostle. She's not a bishop. She's not an elder. She was a disciple. And what does it say about her? This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. She had an active, personal faith. A faith with feats. There were actions to her belief. She did things. Remarkable things that influenced the people around her. Again, her name is not Jewish. There's a little hint in that. That is that the gospel is going to go to un-Jewish people. Peter is still learning that lesson. You know what the next chapter is? You looked ahead. It's the sheep. It's the Lord saying to Peter, things are going to change, Peter. And right here, they're starting to already. One of the things that we learn right at the very beginning of this text is that a Christian life without works is not a biblical Christian life. Isn't that what James is saying? Faith without works is dead. He said that in the gospel. A good tree brings forth good fruit. If you had a good tree, it never brought forth fruit, you wouldn't say it was a good tree. She is not doing these things in order to be saved. She was saved. She was a disciple. In order to do good. Tabitha was first a disciple of Christ, and second, she was full of good works. Somebody put it this way, one of the commentators said, she was made good and then did good. That's the process. But it happened in those days, verse 37, that she became sick and died. Wait, didn't we just spend a great deal of time saying she was a good Christian? Yep, a good Christian woman. Can you say that today? She was a female working in the church, serving other people. She had a well-known Christian manner. She was a disciple. And in the middle of that active Christian life, this Christian servant suddenly died. Why? And why now? There's only one good answer. Remember when Jesus comes to the blind guy and they ask the Lord, "Lord, why was this man born blind?" Ultimately, the answer is, "Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight." God's way and God's timing are not our way and our timing. We might say, why not take some slacker Christian who's not doing much? Why don't you just take him or her? Why take this one who's so active? But I would say, please take note that she died. That's another little thing in the story we don't want to miss. It doesn't say there came a time when she fell into a coma. She's not lying on the bed, barely breathing. She's dead. They washed her and laid her out. She was dead. There was, if you will, a wake. A visitation by friends. There were tears. There was sadness. But some of the disciples heard, you know, Peter's right up the road, about 10 miles. Not too far. Peter's nearby. This woman, can you say that today? This woman meant so much to this church in Joppa that they say, let's send for Peter. Why would they send for Peter? Unless they were expecting what? They weren't asking Peter to come do the graveside burial speech. They were asking Peter, what did they say to him? Doesn't tell us exactly what they said to him. But then Peter arose and went. They implore him, verse 38. And Peter comes. And he comes to Dorcas' house. Her names, again, indicate pretty clearly she was not Jewish. He was not going to a Jewish house. That is significant. It goes way back to the beginning of the book of Acts again, of the Lord sending him to the ends of the earth. And Peter comes to this upper room, to this non-Jewish house. And what are they doing there? There's weeping and showing Peter, look at all the things that she made. These are some of the things that she did in her life. You see what a marvelous ministry she had. There was a commotion. She had died. What's really interesting is what Peter does. He does what he had seen Jesus do, almost to the letter, when the daughter of Jairus, remember they came and said, "My daughter lies sick, come and see her." Jesus goes and puts everybody out except just a couple of the apostles. Peter comes. They show him all these things. There's sadness, weeping. She's gone. Peter puts them all out of the room. And what does he do? He doesn't turn to the body and say, "I, Peter, my healing ministry," doesn't do anything like that. But Peter does what he's seen Jesus do. And what he does is pray. He knelt down and prayed. Wouldn't you like to know how long? What he said? By the way, the question becomes, how does it get into the book of Acts? Well, he must have told Luke about this event. There's nobody else there. But it impressed even Peter. He tells the writer of the book of Acts. Did he say, in Jesus' name? I doubt it, actually. But maybe he did. I don't know. Doesn't say. But he prayed. And turning to the body, what does he say? Tabitha, arise. And a miracle takes place in a moment of time. This dead woman, can you say that today? Comes to life. She opens her eyes. She looks right at Peter. And she sat up. Power to raise. Just a few words again. There's no instruction given to her. Don't tell anybody how this happened. Keep it to yourself. It doesn't say anything like that. No waiting. He doesn't say, maybe we should just stay here for a few minutes, let it sink in before we go out, meet the people who are out there wailing. No, Peter reaches out his hand, helps her up, open the door, presents her to the saints and to the widows. Tabitha's alive. One of the questions I had was, why not every Christian who dies? Peter doesn't do this in other places. It's not repeated. As far as we know, the other apostles never raised anybody from the dead. Why not every Christian? Especially the useful ones. I say it again, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. God's ways, God's timing, are not our way and our timing. They belong to Him. The miracles of the apostolic age were done to show the power and authority of Christ's name and those apostles. They didn't go around raising dead Christians everywhere they went. You know this, right? That Christians die. Good Christians. Useful Christians. John 11. Lazarus is dead. Come to the tomb. Jesus says in verse 25 of chapter 11, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he may die, yet shall he live. Tabitha was alive. Surely she went back to doing good. There was something she was working on. When she passed away, maybe it's one of the things they showed to Peter. Look, she never got a chance to finish this. Now she does. I think one of the things that's interesting about the story is that surely we know, just like Lazarus, Tabitha died again one day. Do you think she had more hope the second time around than the first time? I would think she did. Why is this done? Just so Tabitha can go back to work? No. Verse 42. It became known throughout all Joppa And many started supporting the Peter healing ministry. Many believed on the Lord. The miracle was not done so Dorcas could make more clothes or more whatever it was that she was making, quilts. But God uses this miracle to spread the gospel. Remember what we had just encountered in the gospel. People demanded a sign after they'd seen all kinds of signs from Jesus. You want a sign? Here's a sign. This woman, can you say that today? She died. And she was raised to life. And many believed on the Lord. Again, I point out, not the Peter healing ministry. That's why it's in the Bible, dear ones. To point people to Christ. This is the problem with most of the modern world. They don't want to take this word as God's word. Here's what God has done already. They won't accept it. But Jesus said, John 8, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You know what Jesus is saying there? If you won't take the word of God, if you won't take God's word about God's Son by faith, if you won't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have to answer for your sin on your own. That's the biblical teaching. Men and women die. Christians and unbelievers die. And a life's work often remains to be done. And often that work is done by others. We like to think that we're almost indispensable. But the reality is that when our time comes and our day is past, if I get hit by a truck tomorrow morning, you might be sad for a while, but in a few weeks you'd have another guy in here, another pastor. And life would go on. We read these few words. We heard this simple sermon, if you will. What's next? Is there any hope for you that you are going to die one day? But there is coming a day. John 5, verses 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Listen. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There is a judgment. God has appointed a day. God forbid that the news tomorrow is that one of us suddenly taken away. It's hard enough when our loved ones have been diagnosed and the inevitable is coming and we go through that process. It's hard enough to face that. It's also very difficult to face the sudden, unexpected, what we think ill-timed death. But there is coming a day when the judgment of God will be exercised. And there is a salvation and there is a resurrection. Someone has said, I couldn't find out who or where or when, but Someone said, we can write on the tombstones of our loved ones, to be continued. I think that's pretty cool. Jesus lives. And He gives life to all those who believe in Him. And that gospel is to go out. The whole book of Acts is about the church growing from this little group, 120 or so, in Jerusalem, and being spread far and wide. We get frustrated. I should probably apologize for comments even tonight that show my own frustration. Pastors long to see their churches full, especially of those who profess faith in Christ. But the Lord has a timing and a way that goes far beyond us, and we should not be quite so impatient. Jesus lives. Tabitha came back to life. Lazarus came back to life. Amazing things. We read them. We read the story of Jonah. Oh, got swallowed by a whale, spit out on the book. Oh, we think, we go right on with the next thing. Like, these aren't amazing things. And we might be just like the Pharisees in the gospel, saying to Jesus, just do something. He has done. The real question is, will you take God at His word? Lots of people have no problem believing that there's a God who created all things. Well, if you believe that, you think that God can't communicate? That God can't faithfully express Himself and His expectations for His children, His church? He has. The real problem is, do we take Him at His word? Are we going to take that word, hide it in our hearts, follow it in our lives to the best of our ability? And when we fail, repent, confess, restore. That's the process of the Christian life. If I have to come to your bedside this week, I'm pretty sure that I will not be able to say, Derek, arise. That's not what the Lord has in mind for the testimony of the church today. He's given His word. He's shown His power. The question is this, will you believe it? Will you take God at His word and go forward in your life, trusting His timing, His way? We don't live our lives pessimistically expecting that the next minute is our last breath. We don't live in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. We're to go forward in our lives. You have things to do tomorrow, right? Go do them. Leave the rest with the Lord. The Lord's given a testimony. Amazing power. Let's not pass by it so quick that we forget this amazing power. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank You for Your word. Some of that word is so familiar to us, we do sort of take it for granted. We almost apathetically hear the story again. We're about to approach that section in our calendar, if you will, people thinking about the road to Calvary, the crosses on Calvary, the tomb, all of that. We're so familiar with that story that on the third day He rose again from the dead, that it sometimes loses its power in us. Oh, Father, help us to meditate on these things. That you are the God who gives life and takes life and has appointed a day on which every person will have to give an account. We pray, Father, that our account will be that we have had faith in the Lamb of God, in Jesus, who lived for us and died for us and rose for us and promised to come again for us. May we never lose the wonder of that power. We ask you to hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's close our worship together by